Hello, everyone. It's Wednesday morning, and this is Dr. George Watkins. I'm glad to see you again. Thank you for stopping by. We're going to talk about some of the good things of the Lord today, something to inspire and motivate us forward into the will of God. Amen. If you're new to our channel, take time to subscribe and join us along the way as we journey on into the mysteries and the wonders that God has for us to see into and to have revealed to us. Amen. Well, it's a good day to be alive. I am talking today about restoration. Restoration. My early morning voice is always very exciting and needs to be cleared, so bear with me. I love the voice of God, but coming through some of our early morning voices, we have to exercise them. Hallelujah. The picture you see behind me is part of the Valley of Ojai. And it's out of the window of a longtime friend and missionary to Colombia, the Babylonians. That's the picture of their front yard. They lived there 30-some years. And I was visiting them just a few months ago and had a good fellowship with them. We went into Colombia. I went into Colombia with them the first time in 1980. And have been there about six or seven times since then, helping them found churches. I helped start the first church. Since then, they've got several hundred in their fellowship base. It's just an amazing thing to watch God grow his kingdom through servants, just like the Babylonians, Ramon and Carol. Thank you, Father, for them. All right, let's talk about the restoration of all things. there's a lot of buzz around the theological neighborhoods about that statement. And there's things that are stretched beyond our understanding in some of the ways that we're hearing it and it's being taught. But the Bible talks about restoring and restoration and bringing back and capturing back again and taking back. All those things are there. It's an amazing thing to see that we parse out what we want to understand. If we have a theory or a theology, rather, a teaching, we teach to the limits of our knowledge. Well, that makes sense. You don't want to go past that. You become lost in your teaching. So you do teach to the limits of your knowledge, but listen, our knowledge is not as far as God's knowledge is. Well, that was deep. I'm glad I said that this morning just to clear that up. John 10:10 says, Jesus said this, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly or to the abundance. Let's just take a little snapshot of what we teach or what we understand. Go back into some of your background to where what you understood 20 years ago, 30 years ago, or when you were born again. Take that now to what you understand now. Is there a growth, an increase, an expansion? Yes, obviously. We mature, we grow, we understand differently. So in every aspect of Revelation, including this thought of the restoration of all things, could there not be some wiggle room ahead of you that you don't understand yet? All right. If you'll give me that, then we have room to move a little bit forward in the breadth and the depth and the width of God's commitment and command that he would restore all things. All right. the first thing that comes up when we talk about the restoration of all things is, well, God's not going to restore the devil. I'm not talking about the devil right now. We'll deal with him later. I'm talking about the plan that he created at the beginning of all things, beginning of time as we know it, that he would have a people, he would have a family, and this family would perform and fulfill certain qualifications, certain commands, and certain promises. Now, we see that family taking a severe detour, left turn, when Adam committed high treason, don't we? We see that family missing the mark, as we talked last week about sin as missing the mark. God's promise in the garden started early on when he said that certain things were going to take place. That was the beginning of a prophetic line of prophets, a line of prophetic men and women that spoke of the promises of God from Adam to the last prophet in the Old Testament. When Jesus came, Jesus was and still is the restorer of all things. Now, there's some wonderful scriptures in the Old Testament. I love Ruth 4 and 15. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life. Now, talking to Naomi, and talking to the woman who took him, this man called Obed. And Obed was the father of Jesse, and Jesse was the father of David, and David restored and brought to the zenith of its kingdom power Israel. Now, David was a prototype of what Jesus was planning on doing in his fulfillment of the first Adam's missing it. The second Adam was Jesus, who came and fulfilled everything God promised and projected in the Old Testament. He said that on the cross when he said, "It is finished." He had fulfilled all of the Adamic covenant, what God spoke into Adam to do, Jesus did. Okay. Now, because he continued from the cross to the tomb, to the resurrection, to the throne with his blood presented before the Father, and then came back at Pentecost in the form of the Holy Spirit and entered into temples made without hands, so that you and I are now representation. We are God's feet on earth. We are Christ's hands and feet on earth. That's how real it is. That's how clear and detailed our life, our bodies, our spirits, our intentions, and our abilities are to Christ himself. Scripture says, as he is, so are we in this world. Now, I've quoted that 10,000 times, I'm sure. But the reality of it takes, I get tongue-tied when I try to express the process of what it takes to get that into our consciousness and then let it work out into our daily activities, our faith life. As he is, so are we in this world. That's the story and the picture of restoration. He has come that we might have life, not life to live on the boat and on the lake and in the, you know, the car, the fat, the big house, fat house. You don't want to go to the big house, according to the, you know, the movies. All right. I make myself laugh in the morning. I'm full of joy. Okay. All of these things were given to us that we might fulfill and be restorers of the breach. bringing back men and women to God. We have the ministry of reconciliation. This is what Paul wrote and taught, that we have the ability to bring men and women from the edge of eternity back into the heart of God. That's the power we have in restoration. It's not that we were restored only just to rush up into heaven and go to God and, you know, be a Christian. We were created by the Spirit of Christ in our restoration to restore others. We call it preaching the gospel so people could get saved. That's understood. We can grasp that. But the idea that I have the ability to restore men and women back to God. Wow. Now, we criticize and have for a long time the Catholic system of confession, where the person comes into a confessional booth and tells their sins to some human, which they call a father, you know, father in the of the church. Where did that come from? How did that start? Well, somebody had a revelation early on in the church when there was some spiritual life working among them. Like in all religions, they get a little dead. Now, early on, there was truth in that you could come together with someone and restore them back to Christ. Wow. What does the Bible say? We can cover a person's sins. Not the sin unto death. The sin unto death is the rejection of Christ, denying the cross. I don't believe the cross ever was anything, didn't work. So, or if we're always confessing, we're always bringing back Christ on the cross. Every time we come back and confess the same sin, we're coming back again and again. We're just re-crucifying Christ every time. That's what that scripture is referring to in one part. But how about this ability we have to cover and forgive sin? When someone sins on certain levels, we have the ability, not that we're going to become Catholic priest in a booth, but we have the ability to release them from sin and forgive them for that sin. I talked about this a little bit yesterday, and I never expect to get to the bottom of it because I don't know the bottom. I don't know the total scope of this theology that I'm talking about, this revelation, but I do know there's something there we're missing, and it is in the ability to forgive and to release people from the bondage of the sin they've committed so they can find peace and restoration themselves. If we don't do that, many times they cannot come back to God because they are bound up in that sin until we release that sin by forgiving and covering it with love. Well, we jumped right off the deep end on this one, didn't we? The restoration of all things. Psalms 23:3, he restoreth my soul. Now, we got that one. That's an easy one. We believe in that. We sing it, and we want to feel better about things. So we want our soul restored. Whoa, boy, it goes a lot deeper than that. 51:12, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. So God's in the restoration business on every level, not just in the big stuff with, you know, the seasons and the timelines and the prophets, but he's in the business of me, that my joy can be restored. If I've lost my joy, I can have it restored. Well, Jeremiah 30:17, I will restore health unto thee and heal thy wounds. So I can have my health restored because he's in the restoring business. That's the art of heaven. That's what he does best. That's what God's good at. Galatians 6:1. If a man be overcome, overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore. Hey, step up, spiritual ones. Begin to restore these ones that are overtaken in a fault. If you've been in the church long, very long, you've already run into people that have been overtaken in a fault. The church has a bad rep. They shoot their wounded often. Somebody is overtaken in a fault. Now, listen to the language that's written here in Galatians. If we'd have said that, that dirty scoundrel fornicated and let's get rid of him. Has no business in the church. No. Paul says if someone's overtaken in a fault, restore that one. And don't be so high-minded that you think you're better than them. I'm paraphrasing the next verse. Because if you do, you'll get trapped up in that same thing. If you think you're better than them and you'll never do that, watch out. Give yourself unto the grace of God and you trust his protection, but don't you be smart about it. That's a long paraphrase, wasn't it? Was it saying that all of this is done in the Spirit? All of this is done because of God's Spirit upon us. That's something. Well, let's continue to go on now. And I'm going to wrap it up here, seeing I've lost my picture. But I will see you in the morning. Thank you for joining us today again. I'm on voice now. For some reason, my picture has disconnected, but I will see you in the morning. Until then, continue to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might.